This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After 12 o'clock, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Do we have, we got him, good. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, the voice of reason when it comes to the NCAA. Mark, we were off last Monday, so shocking, I know, that there's been a million different college sports stories happen throughout our world in the last 2 weeks. I mean, my goodness, it's heating up. But first off, how you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic, man. It's a nice weekend. Driving my son down to his orthotea appointment today, and so just enjoying Colorado.
It's June 1st, too. It really feels like we're in that. I always say, like, mentally for me, June 1st means summer. And then once July's over, and I'm sure you're like this, too, once we hit the end of July, it's like, and now we're in fall. So we got 2 months.
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, I've got a little bit of a teacher's schedule in terms of kind of my day job, if you will, obviously. When basketball ends, I kind of get April, May, June, July, get relatively quiet. I mean, I still do stuff, but not nearly as intense. And when you hit June, you realize you've gotten over the hump and you're heading back towards football. So, yeah, that June means real summer. Then we're getting awful close to football kicking off just around the corner.
And I know we'll both be excited to when the actual games start, because now this time of year, maybe more so than ever, it just, we're all open. It's open season on conversations surrounding the future of college athletics. Wherever we want to go here, Mark, you got the SEC. It very much sounds like, oh, you're making a lot more rules and regulations and things like that. I'm not sure. We might just go do our own thing. That whole thing is just, it's just crazy. And that's part of the issue I see in college sports, is the fact that conferences, even though it's the SEC and the Big Ten, they just have unlimited power.
Yeah, well, they do and they don't. Let's make no mistake about it. The SEC thinks they're the biggest dude in the block. The Big Ten actually is the biggest dude in the block. They've got their own issues between the two of them that they're dealing with. The rest of college football, now there's strength in numbers, Brady. And so, you know, with some of the things you're talking about in Washington, you know, should college football, college athletics begin sharing revenue, which would not be a unique idea. It happens in Major League Baseball and NFL and NHL and NBA. The SEC's balking at that. But here's the thing. Let's say everyone else says, no, this is what we're going to do. What's the SEC going to do? Are they really going to go out and say, okay, we're just going to play amongst ourselves? If nobody else will play them and they're a totally separate entity, I don't think that works out. And so right now you've got this little staring match going on, this stalemate going on, and eventually I think it goes back to, maybe I've said this on your show before, you know, Pete Rozelle was 33 years old when he became the commissioner of the National Football League. And he sat down with all the big boys in the NFL and said, we've got a problem here. You guys are all doing well. Everyone else is struggling, but you need everyone else. And he convinced them at that point in time, we can all get wealthy here if we kind of work together. And I think we're starting to focus down, I think, onto a point where that's going to be the main discussion. And right now, I know that Greg Sankey, the SEC, is kind of, you know, being stubborn and digging their heels in. But I'm not sure that's a wise decision long term here. I think we're at least starting. Everyone's realizing this is a disaster. I think you probably saw the comments by Kirby Smart the other day that said, man, we are on a bad road right now. And everyone's starting to see this has always been ridiculous. It's getting damaging, and we're headed towards a cliff, and we've got to figure something out.
Did you see, like, all the, what is the what is it, the Save College Sports Act, or what is that Mark, exactly? I mean, honestly, every bullet point on there I mean, I look at it and I think it makes sense. But all of that kind of stuff has made sense over the years. The problem is the NCAA just keeps getting sued every time they try to present some of those ideas.
Yeah. Just yesterday, in fact, I was out on a ride with a group that I'm involved with, and one of the guys I was riding with was a lawyer and a college sports fan, and we and I got chatting about this very thing. We got talking about, you know, collective bargaining and antitrust exemptions. And, you know, I know that the SAVE Act, they're talking about a partial antitrust, whatever that means. So I was kind of picking his brain on some of this stuff. And, you know, from the legal standpoint, it's a little bit over your pay grade and my pay grade, to be honest with you. But the point is, at some point, the motivation is going to push all of this. You know, when you look at the SAVE Act, I mean, a lot of I don't have the document in front of me. I was looking at that a couple of days ago. But, you know, if 75% of the participants decide they want to share revenue, it would pass. Now, that's where the SEC could walk and say, no, we're not doing it, and back out. Well, you're sitting on an island then. They're talking about, you know, transferring once in your college career. And after that, there'd be penalties, there'd be contracts. All of that is nothing more than a version of what we see in professional sports that we all knew we were going to get to at some point in time. And it was just because of the stubbornness and the ineptness of a lot of people in charge of the NCAA college athletics that weren't getting us there any quicker. We should have gotten here if we were going to do this. If you're going to pull a scab off and this whole thing's going to end up what it looks like it right now, what it's hopefully going to be, they should have just made a sprint to the finish line to get there to save all these issues. They didn't because of the greed and ignorance and arrogance which plays into all of this. And so now we've had to go through this painful experience. But I still think that's where we're ultimately going.
Mark Johnson joining us. He's the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And with Mark, you know, throughout the seasons, we'll be talking more and more things all Buffs related. But with Mark, we also love to pick his brain about the goings-on around the NCAA. How about this one for you, Mark? The Big 12. Here we go. Let's get into this one. The Big 12 is becoming the first Power Four conference to have each of its members sign participation agreements with the CSC or the College Sports Commission, this agency that formed last year essentially to regulate name, image, and likeness. Your thoughts there?
Well, I think you have to, okay? But listen, what we've seen it's been a challenge, you know, the Lord of the Flies. Brady, back in your educational career, did you have to read The Lord of the Flies?
I did not have to read Lord of the Flies, but I know enough about it to be dangerous, Mark.
You know what? That explains a lot.
I watched a lot of movies, Mark. Movies.
You know, hey, Cliff notes on watching movies does not educate. I want everyone to know that. Even though we all tried it back in the day. Okay, well, what we've had is The Lord of the Flies, right? It's been everyone just kind of doing their own thing. You have to have some law at some point that helps keep structure. I think we're seeing this society a little bit. When we ignore laws and nobody follows laws, you have chaos. Well, that's what we've had. And so I think it's a good thing that Brent Yorkman has gotten everyone on board and said, okay, let's agree to this. That way we're all playing by the same rules. You know, because right now, you know, how many times have you and I, Brady, talked about this? I mean, it's Institution A is doing XYZ and Institution B is doing CDF, and they're all playing different games, trying to ultimately play the same game of the same playing surface when they've got different rules that guide them. And so you can't have chaos turn into order. Order can become chaos when you lose, you know, the discipline that surrounds it. So you have to have some order at some point in time. And so I think that's a good step. So everything right now that I see, even though it seems chaotic on the surface, if you really sit back and boil it down, everyone's taking a step towards this ultimate end of having some order around this so that we can all play. And we're going to – now, who's going to be hurt by this? I'm not sure hurt's the right word to use, but who's going to be affected by this, maybe from a negative standpoint? I do think you're going to end up with some sort of salary cap. So these crazy salaries that we're seeing right now for players who are very average players and making enormous amounts of money, you're not going to see those anymore because, number one, you can't afford it. Number two, the players aren't worth it from a market standpoint, even though right now they're getting paid that. They're going to be affected negatively in that regard. But you have to have some financial constraints around this because at this point, you're only going to – if we continue down this path, there's about maybe five or six schools that continue doing what we're doing and survive this thing. Everyone else is going to fall to the wayside and go bankrupt as we're seeing all around college athletics right now.
Yeah, and again, even just trying to catch up from our last conversation of everything that's happened, the problem for me, Mark, it's like I feel like I need to go back and just reread every single thing that comes out, because when I see something new is pitched, it's almost like I'm lost in the story again. I need to go back and watch this from season one, episode one.
Yeah, well that's what I said. It's happening so fast. Every day something is changing because someone's coming up with a new idea, and as soon as someone comes up with a new idea, there's a lawsuit that counters that, or immediately there's pushback in some form or fashion. And so, you know, I don't know if I've used this on your program or not. There was a friend of mine who's in the law business. He said to me at one point, what we've got in college athletics is what we have in the medical system. Everyone knows it's broken, but everyone's making money off it, so nobody actually wants to fix it, even though they talk a good game. And we're seeing that a little bit in college athletics. A lot of people making a lot of money off college athletics. It's broken. We all know it's broken. You can't even hide the fact that it's broken anymore. But we're going to continue down the path, because if we're going to fix it, that means I might lose a couple of bucks and you might lose a couple of bucks, and nobody. We're virtuous until the virtue issue becomes our issue. Then we're no longer virtuous. So that's part of human nature, and it's certainly what we're seeing in college athletics.
Mark Johnson joining us. Mark, before we let you go, Mike Leach is now on the College Football Hall of Fame ballot for the first time, following this adjustment that went from a 600 winning percentage to now down to 595. Well, he was at 596. Wanted to get your opinion there, and you know, just how many run-ins did you have with Mike Leach over the years?
Well, Mike was one of my favorites simply because he was interesting, right? I've told you many times, we're in the interesting business. Mike was interesting. He was a personality. He was a free thinker. He was very good at what he did. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. Now, in regards to altering the, shall we say, standards for the Hall of Fame, I'm not for it. I love Mike Leach. I think he was phenomenal. But he didn't reach 60%. But what do we do? This is the kid, in my view, who, let's give everyone a participation ribbon, make everyone feel good. Just because we like Mike Leach does not mean he was a Hall of Fame coach by the guidelines which have been there for many, many years, right? So what we've done, we've lowered the standard because we like this guy. Well, great, we like him, and he was great. He's legendary in many respects, but, okay, now we're going to say a 59.5% win percentage. Well, what if the next guy comes along, we really like him, but he's at 59.4? Do we drop? I mean, where does that end? And so, once again, we're lowering standards all across society, and I don't think that's a good thing. Standards are there for a purpose, because we're calling on excellence, and just because we like you or dislike you should not alter the standards of what we're talking about.
Yeah, great point, Mark. Yeah, certainly, like you said, Mike Leach, is it's hard not to like the guy. He was interesting. He was so innovative, you know, when it comes to that, like that air raid offense, and so many excellent coaches came from his tree. But, you know, yeah, that's the thing, changing things around, making edits. What you say is valid because, you know, when does it stop and where does it stop? Because at some point there's going to be another popular, excellent coach that doesn't quite meet these standards, and then you're going to have to readjust because, hey, you readjusted for Leach, you got to readjust for this guy.
Well, one of my favorite Mike Leach stories, by the way. Hey, by the way, if you want to be entertained, go out and Google Mike Leach ranking the Big 12 mascot.
It's so good.
Anything to do. It's ever done. But I was sitting in a small group with Mike Leach one time, and Mike was holding court. He wouldn't go up to the podium to talk to the media. There was about 7 or 8 of us at this little scrum. He wanted to sit on a chair, so he sat in the chair amongst us. Well, just sat. It looked like just a group of guys talking. And Mike was kind of holding court and telling stories and answering questions. And in the middle of it, his phone rings, and he picks it up, right? 99.9% of guys just, you know, send it to voicemail and continue on. Mike picks it up, and it's his wife. And the conversation he would have with us, the media, the conversation he had with his wife, this happened to be about what was for dinner that night, was more entertaining than anything he ever said. We just sat there just giggling, watching him talk to his wife about having, I don't know, bean sprouts or, you know, whatever it was, beans or green beans or corn or whatever. And that was the conversation. And it was just fantastic. And what I thought to myself, I was relatively young. I was in my 30s at the time. And I thought to myself, you know what? Everything we've seen from him is what he is. He's authentic, which is why we liked him, right? He wasn't putting on an act. He wasn't some deal he was doing for show. That was Mike Leach. He was as odd, unique, and creative in person and in his real life as he was in front of the cameras when we talked to him, and that's why we kind of liked him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I know, obviously, he was still alive when things really started to change, but it would be very fascinating to get some of his thoughts as quickly as things appear to be moving now. It would be must-listen, must-see TV to hear him talk about it.
Yep. There was only one pirate, and as much as we love him, and it's entertaining, it's smart. You know, he was a lawyer. He had a law degree. As unique as he was in that regard, I think it's wrong to alter the standards Hall of Famer simply because he was interesting, and I don't think that's the way you want to go.
Mark Johnson, always great work from you, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Monday.
All right, buddy. We'll see you, bud.
All right, thanks, man. 12:35 the time. I just saw this tweet, too, during the last break, and this has nothing to do with Mike Leach or college sports world, but it does have something to do with the Myles Garrett trade we talked about earlier today, Michael. You know who owns the Los Angeles Rams? That's the Kroenkes. So you got people making the connection like, why aren't the Avalanche or the Nuggets doing anything quite like that? Sean Keeler has a fascinating suggestion in the Denver Post. He's basically saying, Michael, everyone should be up for discussion on the Avs roster, save for Cale Makar. Everyone. And that includes Nate Dogg, Nathan MacKinnon. Troy Rank also says the biggest overall threat to Penner Walton Group winning the title for the Broncos this season, the Kroenke Walton Group, a few exits down from the interstate. Yeah, it is kind of wild, isn't it? You got the Kroenkes who are like, yeah, Colorado, Avalanche, Nuggets, yeah. Yeah, no, we're going right at the Broncos. It is a weird dynamic. I think you should only be able, you shouldn't be able to own teams outside of this. No, that's a dumb thing, but still, seems odd. Seems odd.
It is odd.
Yeah, it does.
But I think you should be allowed to own teams outside the state.
I do too. It's not always the best look.
You gotta separate that, though. You can't have the Avalanche suddenly be Rams fans because the Avalanche are in Broncos.
They had them wearing Rams jerseys, Michael. They had the Avalanche wearing Rams jerseys at one point. I hated it.
Broncos are more popular than the Avalanche.
But
that's
going
to piss off a lot of Broncos fans who are barely hockey fans.
Avalanche don't have to wear, you don't have to wear Broncos jerseys. Just don't wear Rams jerseys as a team. Now, if Nathan MacKinnon wants to go out and he's going out on the town and he just happens to be wearing a Rams hat, whatever, man, that's your own thing. But if you're going to take a group photo saying go, you know, in support of the Rams and a group photo and everybody's wearing Rams jerseys, yeah, I have an issue with that. I do have an issue with that. Not a good look.
Yeah, and we also criticized them for that tweet about congratulating
to the Chiefs. Yes, when they congratulated Travis Kelce and
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift didn't like that either. He's the enemy. He's the enemy.
Yeah, he is. Like there are people, marketing directors who are trying to go to different audiences.
No.
But like your core audience, don't piss off your core audience.
Nope. Don't do it. Don't do it, Mike. All right, 38 minutes after the hour. Von Miller wants to be a Bronco. I've never seen a player want to be on another team as badly publicly as I have Von Miller. Is it realistic? Let's talk about that coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.